It says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, and lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. This is a very short psalm. It is a very confusing psalm, because it is not a very happy psalm. It is not a very comforting psalm in the beginning. As a matter of fact, one would read this and one would say, this person is indeed having some sort of a crisis. They're having some sort of a faith crisis. These are not this would not be the psalm that you publish. This would be the psalm that you scratch in your journal and you would pull it out of the journal and crumble it up and you would throw it away before anyone else would see that you ever felt this way. But folks, let's admit it, there are times in our lives when people ask us how we're doing and we say we are doing fine and we are lying. There are times when things are not okay. There are times when we are upset, when we are having little faith crises of our own, and we are not doing okay. And I'm here to tell you that there is truth and there is comfort and there is guidance in this passage of Scripture. There is a way for us to see, there's a bit of a journey that we can take along with the psalmist here, along with David, in finding the okay when things are not okay. It is no fun to struggle, but here on earth it is a thing we do. If you have lived any time on earth at all, you have struggled with something. We struggle with ourselves, we struggle with traffic, and sometimes we even struggle to get out of bed. When there is an abundance of trouble, sometimes we forget ourselves. We are led to think that there is no hope for us at all, that God is not listening and he does not care. Perhaps maybe we don't even think to consult him in what's going on, especially when the mess is one of your own making. When we try to deal with adversity in the wrong way, we, by blame shifting, lying, putting others down to relieve guilt off ourselves, we see the problems grow. We saw this with Adam and Eve. Instead of Adam coming out and saying, hey Lord, there was that fruit you told us not to eat and we ate it. And taking full responsibility for his actions, what did he do? My wife, the woman you gave me. He double passed it. Lord, it was her and you gave her to me. I am of no consequence here. I did nothing wrong. It was her that you gave. And I tell you what, if you never would have gave her, I never would have done this. Talk about not owning your responsibility. What did Eve do? Oh, it wasn't me, Lord. It was the serpent beguiled me. He made me do it. The devil made me do it. Talk about passing the buck. But hey, let's take a look here. How did God respond? Did God punish the snake for Eve? No. He punished the serpent for what the serpent did. Hey, did God punish Adam for Eve? No. He punished Eve for Eve. Did God punish Eve for Adam? Nope. God punished Adam for Adam. Each and every one of their curses had everything to do with what they themselves did. Sometimes we're going to be in a booger of a situation because we created that situation. And the more we do to thrash and fight to try to prove that we're not in that situation, the more of a hard time we're going to have. But when we have problems, no matter what they are, no matter who has caused them, no matter what they are doing to our lives, and we turn to the Lord for the solution, wonderful things happen. We get comfort from his presence, provisions for our needs, advice from his word, and so much more.
We need to go to Him as soon as problems start, or else we ourselves may find ourselves in a very desperate place. My friends, let us not wait till we find ourselves in a desperate place to go to Him. Let's think about Jonah for a minute. Jonah, in his rebellion, created a bit of a problem for himself, but he waited until he was at the bottom of the ocean in the thick of the belly's whale before he did anything about it. Let's talk about so many people that sat there in sackcloth and ashes, refusing to do anything at all, when really what they needed to do was go to the Lord. Appreciated that devotion we heard this morning. If David, instead of calling for Bathsheba, called upon the Lord, that story would have gone a whole lot differently, wouldn't it? In the heart of his temptation. Hey, and let me tell you this, if we were to go to God when we were having a hard time with our legs, with our backs, with our ears, with our families, with the heat, with the roof, with the whatever we're fighting with, if we go to the Lord, the story will come out a whole lot better than if we sat there grilling and grinding on ourselves. You see the desperate nature of this man, of David, as he writes these words. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Now listen, we would sit there and we would all say, oh no, David, don't worry. God doesn't forget about us. David was in such a dark place, he allowed himself that moment. God has forgotten about me. What else does he say there as we see him kind of fall to pieces forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? I tell you what, if you're like Peter and you got your eyes on the storm instead of the Lord, this is exactly the kind of thinking that will come your way. Why? Because it isn't our nature to fall apart. It isn't our nature to get so racked with frustration that we start saying crazy stuff. You ever do that? You ever become so frustrated you start saying crazy stuff? I bet you have. You're sitting there, and I use this illustration a lot because I think it's very good. You're sitting behind traffic, and you start teaching the other drivers how to drive because you're so frustrated at their behavior, knowing full well they can't hear you, right? Not supposed to do that. They can't hear you. They probably know they're not supposed to do that, and they did it anyway. You ever see somebody get so excited and out of their mind, they start barking at the people on the television? You're supposed to run faster than that. Those people cannot hear you. I can, and I'm on the telephone. Shush. You know? We drive ourselves to desperation. We say things that we don't mean. We say things that we couldn't. In hindsight, we look back and we say, oh yeah, that was crazy. I can't believe I said that. Can't believe I did that. I'm pretty sure as David would look back on this psalm, he would sit there and say, I can't believe for a moment I thought that God was there. But I tell you what, we kind of forget God's there too, don't we? You know, every time you sin, God's there. You know, every time you do the thing you do that brings shame upon you, you know the Lord's there for that. And we sit there, we talk about others, you tell others, you know, the Lord sees what you're doing, and He's going to bring judgment upon those sinners. He's watching you too. You got the Holy Spirit dwelling within you if you're saved. Means you brought the Holy Spirit along for the ride. Right? You wouldn't do that, would you? While you're sitting there, you're going to go to some awful thing and you're going to invite me to come along with you. You wouldn't do that. But we take the Holy Spirit every ridiculous place we go. Along with every ridiculous thing we say. We forget God's presence all the time. So I guess we can be honest to say that sometimes in our darker moments, it's easy for us to forget that God is there. He was in a bad place. Some things in life are just plain awful. They might not make sense, they might hurt really bad, or it might just be one thing after another that stacks up against you, and you kind of trying to figure out why it is that the test has got to be so hard. Your mind begins to play tricks on you, make you question your resolve, or even wonder if God is in control. He is. He's in control. You might question whether or not He is doing something in that situation, whether or not He's even paying attention to it. He is. You just can't see Him. and you desperately want to. When I was a kid, I used to love fire trucks. And I tell you what, I still like seeing a fire truck every now and then. I don't like seeing them when they're in work because that's always bad news, isn't it? We had a fire at one of our properties. The building was filled with smoke, but we had a bunch of people on the inside. Either they didn't know what was going on, or we had one particular guy, he needed to get into his wheelchair, couldn't get into his wheelchair to get out. So we were in there, we're trying to pull people out before the fire gets too bad. And I tell you what, that's a hard position to be in. It's a hard situation to be in because you can't get into everybody's door. You didn't bring all the keys. You just looked over and here's this fire going on. And maybe someone's sleeping. Maybe somebody's on the inside. And it's kind of scary. I really liked it when the fire trucks showed up, not just because I thought they were pretty. Because I'm like, okay, all right. Here comes the people that know what they're doing. Here comes the people that are trained for this business. I'm not. Put a lot of faith and trust in those firefighters. I tell you what, every time I've had to deal with a firefighter, which is far too much in my opinion, but every time I've ever had to deal with a firefighter, I've been glad for what it is that they could do and how they did it. I love to see an ambulance. I hate to see an ambulance in action, but I've had to call a few of those in my day. Somebody got hurt, something bad happened. And all I could do is I could sit there and guess. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a hero. I like it when the heroes do show up. You know what I'm saying? They wheel out their bags and they got that gurney and they're talking that medical language. Kind of sounds like Latin and you're like, oh, okay. 10 cc's of that sounds like enough of to me. Sounds good to me. All right. Because somebody who knows what they're doing is here and they can take over and they've got it all situated. You know, best I can do is guess, but you had the knowledge and I'm glad for you, you know. I think our problem is when we get into these messes, we want to see God come in with fire trucks so we know he's there. We want sirens. We want lights. We want a big hullabaloo over our problem. And the thing that we've got to understand is ain't no one ever seen the face of God and live, so you ain't going to see him face to face in your problem. But if you pay close attention, you'll see some stuff. One of my favorite phrases is coincidence is just God's way of staying anonymous. I've had that happen where I sit there and say, well, I'll have a problem. And all of a sudden, by coincidence, here's the solution. Well, look at there. 2 hours after I heard there was a problem, behold the solution. Right? One particular time, we had a window shatter out in one of our cars. We had some kind of a rebate thing that came back from either the insurance company or the electric company. I can't remember which, but it was just a little shy. Little shy. Praise the Lord for that. What a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't. Many of you, you've shared testimonies of times where people came swooping in with a solution to a problem they thought they would just figured out on their own. Nah, Lord did something. You put it in your head. How on earth were you sitting there thinking that I would need what you just brought over? Right? We sat there one time. We had a neighbor come over, brought over a bag of food. And, you know, we were sitting there. This was back when we were living down in Newport, Michigan. We were having issues. We weren't even all that good of friends with our neighbors. Our neighbors would let their dog over the fence to go to the bathroom in my backyard. You know, hey, we're getting rid of this food. How'd you know that we're about out and I don't get paid till 2 days from now? Well, I don't know. I just want to get rid of some food. Okay. Thank you. I mean, come on. Lord, if we look closely, we'll see the coincidences that ain't coincidences. Every now and then we'll look back at a situation that was rough and horrible and we'll start to see little things that came out of that. And it don't make what you went through any easier, but you sure could sit there and say, well, that's where the Lord was. That's where he helped me. That's where the comfort came in. That's where when there were no answers, now there are answers, and we can see him work that way. Just don't fall apart because you don't hear sirens. Don't fall apart because you don't see some booming, whooshing solution. God works in the small. And we will see him in the small. But what he does in the small turns into big. Turns into big help. Turns into mighty answers. We just don't get to see it all at once. We don't get to see it all at once. You know, I was watching this farming show, And, you know, they're over here and they're working on this, and they're over here and they're working on that. And then it cut to a drone shot of the whole farm, and you go, wow, looks a whole lot cooler when you see the big picture. It didn't look like much when I was looking at this field and that farm and this thing over here, and here over here is where they kept the cows. Didn't look all that impressive, but you showed me the big screenshot. That's huge. That's nice. That's real cool looking. That's our problems, folks. When the Lord sends the rain on one part of your situation, it affects everything. We must never get to the point to where we believe that God is not there, that God is not caring, and that God is not taking care of you. We see that he was having a bit of a faith crisis. We also see that his life was disquieted. I like peace. You like peace? Ain't had much peace since we started having kids. Not that we had much peace before we had kids, because I feel like I went straight from being a kid to having kids. I like peace. I like calm. I like quiet. Those are precious commodities in the world we have today, isn't it? Oh, we've got the television to make us some noise, cause us fear and dread. We got the telephone we'll pick up. We'll get the bad news on telephone, and maybe we'll scroll through social media and see some bad news. It'll tear us up. Maybe it'll be from a doctor's visit. Maybe it'll be from a business meeting. Maybe it's from sitting down with a banker yourself. There are things all around us that threaten to disquiet our soul. And as David sat here and he is writing, he himself is very disquieted. Look at his words. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in mine heart, in my heart daily? That's rough. That's rough. And many of you, maybe you can empathize with this. You sit there and you wake up, and the thing that troubled you yesterday is still troubling you today. And then as you sit there, tomorrow comes and even more trouble gets dropped on top of it. Or maybe that same trouble gets deeper than it was the day before. Hey, listen, God knows all about that stuff. God's got an answer for that stuff. God can help you with that stuff. Whatever it is that troubles your soul, God has an answer. Oh, there may be things that take a good long while. Physical pain, mourning, grief, sorrow, regrets, the effects of your actions. Oh, they may take a while to get over. But I'll tell you this. God has a balm for your soul. He has good medicine to help you. Breaks my heart when people believe that they are so wrecked that they'll never, never have peace again. Because you don't know the Lord the way that I know Him. Because you could sit there in the midst of your hurt, tribulation, sorrow, grief, loss, pain, both physical and emotional, and God will still take care of you. He will still bring you to a safe place, a calm place. God can do this for you. He says they're taking counsel of my own soul. Taking counsel of my own soul. You know what I think about when I think about that phrase, taking counsel of my own soul? It kind of reminds me of the good old-fashioned pity parties we throw for ourselves, don't we? Nobody's ever had it the way I had it. No one knows what I'm going through. There's no solution here. I tell you what, I don't got to do anything about this. I'm the only innocent one who's ever walked on earth. No one has ever struggled the way I struggle. And we're not proud of those thoughts, but you ever have one of those just kind of slip in and you go, where'd you come from? We throw our little pity parties. We beat ourselves up. We beat other people up. But we find in that counsel we take with ourselves, no solutions. Just more what? Wallowing. Anger, doubt, fear, whatever it is. We got to be real careful about taking counsel with ourselves. Because if you're sitting there talking to yourself long enough, you'll lead your own self astray. And doesn't that sound like insanity? Doesn't that sound crazy? That the best you're doing is sitting there muttering to yourself your justifications, your reasoning, your doubts, God, don't care if this happens to me. God, don't care about this pain that I'm in right now, this awful physical pain, this awful emotional pain. God, don't care. He does care. But I tell you what, you got to remember where you are. This ain't heaven. These bodies, they perish. They need repair, and those repairs hurt. They need... There comes a time when we have to say goodbye to each other, and that's hard, and it's hurtful, and it disrupts our lives, and it shreds us from the inside. But I tell you what, God can heal that hurt. You just got to stop yammering at yourself, and you got to turn to Him. What effect has it ever had with you sitting there worrying and troubling your own self over things? You ever sat there and thought about a problem, come up with no solution, but at the end of it, you just felt worse? That's what He's talking about. You ever sit there, well, I got to stop worrying about this, all right? What's happened has happened, and I can't fix it, so I'm going to leave it alone. But then you're still sitting there playing with it in your mind. You're taking counsel within yourself, and you ain't going to find no answers in there. You won't. When I was a kid, I used to get nervous when my parents would send me to go find stuff. So I'd start looking for things in places where they would never be. Matt, on the kitchen counter are my keys. Go get them. And I tell you what, I'd get so nervous and mixed up, I'd bring my mom back like a piece of cheese in a wrapper. You know? Matt, keys on the counter. She'd finally come into the kitchen, find me in the cupboard, looking for her keys among the crackers and the baked beans. Yeah, I had a hard time with it. One time my pastor asked me, I was a little bit older, I was helping out with a project in the church, and I was a gopher, and he asked me, he goes, go downstairs. There is a box. He described what was on the box, described what was in the box. I need you to bring the box to where we're working. Okay, I went downstairs, I grabbed him a box fan. I'd get nervous. You know, finally, one of the brothers of the church came down. He said, hey, listen, where did he say that it was? In the closet. Then why are you in the classroom? I don't know. I was got to go where the answer is. Okay. He said it'd be here. Yeah, okay. Now open the door. There it is. You're so clever. Take it. Let's go. I'd get nervous when I was a young kid about stuff. I don't necessarily think it was all my fault either. I was made to be nervous, man. But I'll tell you this. You learn an important lesson. You got to go where you know the answer is. Because naturally, it's not normal for us to go where the answer is. Right? How often have we learned that the simple woes and cares of life that God can handle, and we still put it upon ourselves to solve problems we don't even fully understand? I'll give you a real simple one. You sit there and you're feeling down. Emotionally, you're dragged out. Now, most folks will tell you that what you need to do that will help you out a little bit won't cure the problem that's causing it, but will make you feel better as you open up those windows, you get some light on your face, get a little exercise, get your blood moving, go out, be with people, see folks. We know that's the solution. We know that sure does kind of help. It may not fix everything, but it sure takes the edge off. And we also understand that sitting in a room, watching television with the blinds shut in the dark and not changing out of our pajamas is bad. Yeah? What do? Well, I don't feel good today, so I'm going to do all of the things that make me feel worse. Right? Think about your last sick day. Did you sit out in the sun for a few minutes? Did you change out of your clothes, get a good shower, take some good rest, drink plenty of water? I hope you did, because what a lot of us do is the exact opposite. We do the Michigan cure. We plug ourselves filled with ginger ale, right? Get you some Verners, right? Some nice sugary Verners. Slap that down. That'll make my body feel better. We keep the windows shut. We stay in our pajamas. We clear the junk drawer of food. Just eat that up. Popcorn, chips. If we can tolerate anything more, maybe some of the more fattier foods we've got, right? Just, all right, that'll make me feel better. And how do you feel at the end of the night? Worse. I'm going to do what makes things worse. No. Stop taking counsel from within yourself, especially if you're giving yourself some very disturbing advice. What I need to do, but I feel miserable after that. Yeah, but we got to do it. Why? It don't make no sense. It's like that guy who went to his doctor. He had a cold. And the doctor said, well, if you take these vitamin tablets within a couple days, your cold will go away. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. I've never taken anything like that. And after a couple days, my cold went away. And the guy who took the tablets, after a couple days, guess what? His cold went away. You know what I'm getting at? A couple days, your cold's going to go away. But we do stuff. We do stuff we don't necessarily need to do. You know, you could jump off your roof and after a couple days that cold will go away. Not everything that seems to work does work. Everything that seems... No, that's not saying anything about vitamins. If your doctor gives you vitamins, take your vitamins. Right? But my point is this. Just because something kind of seems like it works doesn't mean it works. We must trust in the Lord and go to Him for our solutions. We see Him in the midst of bad circumstances. Verse 2, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, I don't think I've ever had an enemy. I competed in a prank war one time. I don't think that's quite the same. But I don't quite have an enemy the way that David would have an enemy. You know, David had enemies with swords and spears and diabolical plans. I've never had that. But I have had things come against me that has interrupted me, distracted me, and thwarted what it was I was trying to do. Some of those things I brought in myself. Some things people brought into my life. Some are just the natural course of time and events. Right? Maybe, you know, could be illness, could be loss, could be anything. Just things have showed up at your door. I've even known it to where if somebody brings trouble to a friend's door, all of a sudden that involves me. I'm going to get involved. I love that person, and you brought trouble to them, and now I'm involved, Mio. We have things that work against us. And sometimes we think that those things that work against us are more powerful and are going to win. They don't have to. It is a fallacy to believe that just because something seems strong, that it's going to win. The God I serve is stronger than any of them. Oh, build your missiles. Buy all your plots of land. Grab a hold of education. Grab a hold of entertainment. Grab a hold of whatever you want. Pretend like you're the right one because you've got the biggest voice. My God still has the final say. The things that you devise, my God can undo. The best of your plans could fall apart. The things that you think and you dream and you scheme won't come to pass if my God won't let them. Oh, the devil thought he had it pretty good having God's permission to trouble Job. The devil thought he was quite powerful. The devil thought he was pretty clever. But there wasn't a thing the devil could do to Job that God couldn't stop him from doing. God said, do this, but don't hurt him. All right. I hurt him, but don't kill him. All right. Now listen, in doing that, he proved something to Job. He proved something to Job's wife. Verbally, he proved something to Job's friends. And he reminded the devil of something he forgot long before he fell. That God gets the final word. So you better believe I'm going to him in my problems. Because he has the final say. But I like how this turns. This is a very unique psalm. It's a very different psalm because it starts off very low, very sad, very disgruntled. But we see it turn. Verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And you go, wait, because verse 4, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I'm going to die. All right? Lord, you got to do something. I'm going to die. My enemies will say that they've won. My enemies who have a counter idea to what you want, they're going to win. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You think maybe I wondered about this. This little pause, this little difference. Was David writing in the midst of a hot battle? Was David penning this in the depths of his depression? Put the pen down. God delivered him from whatever it was. And then he came back and he picked the pen back up to finish this? Or did he write the whole thing in one shot? Talking about a circumstance where he went from here to here. And you know full well who put him there. I've also wondered, like, did he do that to tell us that sometimes we're here, but the way out of it is this. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Lord, I'll tell you this, if I've got problems, I deserve to have them. I probably caused them. Right? If I've got struggles and I've got burdens and I've got hurts, I probably brought them into my life. I deserve them. People say, well, why me? Well, why not me? What's so special about me? I don't get problems. What's so special about me? I don't get sick. What's so special about me? I don't have to fight this way. Why has it got to be other people? Why can't it be me? That's why we call it mercy when he delivers us. I've trusted in your mercy. This physical pain I feel, I know you'll be merciful in your right time and you'll heal me and take it away. Lord, whatever it is, whatever reason you've got me in the trying fires today, I know there's a reason I'm here. Lord, if this is you putting me in the fire to burn away the impurities, to bring me closer to you, to cause me to trust you better, to wake me up, Lord, I trust in your mercy. I know you'll pull me out of this fire before I'm burned all the way up. Perhaps it is the refining hammer or the sculpting hammer that is hitting us, that is driving us into the shape we ought to be in. Lord, this sure hurts. But I know you'll only hit where I need to be hit, change where I need to be changed, sharpen what needs to be sharpened, and I know that you will make me a lot better than I was at the end of this. I trust in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You see, in this, as we look back up to verse 3, we see that he turns to the Lord and he requests help. My friends, whatever problem you're going through, your journey to getting out of it starts with you asking God for help and trusting in his mercy after that. And then you pray, and then you can praise him. But I'll be honest with you, it won't hurt you to praise him all the way through. Because in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, when you ask God for help, he's sitting there listening. And he's not aware. You're not calling him into a situation he's not aware of. You're not bringing up a problem to him he don't know anything about. We were fixing a toilet. And my boss pulled the toilet out. We were having an issue with it. My boss pulled the toilet out. And he had it propped up and he was trying to figure out what manner of toy the kids had thrown into the toilet. You ever have a kid throw something into your toilet and have to get it back out? This one was one of those little squishy fish. And I'm sitting there looking down at the place where the toilet screws into. And he's looking into the toilet, pulling out this fish, going, aha, tell me your kids didn't put anything down there. Look at that, Matt. Look at Matt, look at this. And I go, the stack had cracked. On the inside. Whatever was going down there was leaking out. And we're going to have a hard time putting that back in. And he's sitting there with his little squishy fish. And I'm looking down at the next 4 or 5 hours of our lives. That's going to be a problem right there, boss. Hey, we're not calling God to look at a problem he's not aware that's there. He knows what's going on in your life, and you ought to praise him for it. Because I tell you what, this is not a very interesting life to follow, and there he sits. There he sits. We ought to praise him for hearing us. Praise him for being aware. Praise him for his planning in our lives. Praise him for the things that he is doing. We need to trust him is what we need to do. And by trusting him, I don't mean that we just give a fake verbal, or even just a verbal. I don't want to say fake, because I trust the Lord, I trust the Lord, I trust the Lord. Really, do you trust the Lord? Are you looking for his advice? Are you asking him what he would do? Because I ask questions to people I trust. I do. If I value your opinion on something, you know, if you've got some expertise in something, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you what you think. Right? I like to do that because I'm typically surrounded by people who know a little bit more than I do, you know. Hey, what do you think about this? Because I trust them. If you trust the Lord, how often do you go to him for advice in the situation you're in? And how often do we sit there and stew until it gets so bad we've got to go to him? Right? If we trust him, we'll go to him. And then if we trust him, we'll do what he says. Listen, I know this is what God wants me to do, but I've got other things going on. Yeah, that's what God wants to do, but you got to understand there's different ways to do stuff, and we got to do it like this to get through it this one time. Next time we'll do it right, but this time we're going to do it wrong. It don't work that way. You got to do right right now. You got to do right right now. We got to stop playing this, well, next time I'll get it right. Next time I'll be better. You got to do it right right now. Stop making excuses or the problems don't go away. Oh, we ought to trust him. And by trust him, I mean we ought to obey him. We see here that he started off in a bad place. We see that he made a good turn. And I love the strong finish. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. How do you go from how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, to thou hast dealt bountifully with me in 6 verses? It's because you understand your depravity, you repent from your doubt, and you take a good hard look at your life and what's really there. I want you to feel the soft pew underneath you. It's a lot better than a hospital bed, ain't it? I want you to breathe in. Aren't you glad a machine ain't helping you do that right now? Go like this. Can't do that in a grave. Can't. Turn to the person beside you. Ain't it good to be a part of a church? Ain't it good to be here today? There's countries above countries where this book is illegal. Go ahead and touch yours. What is this, the 5th, 6th, 7th, 20th Bible you've ever owned? Some of you have had a couple, right? Isn't that good? You could leave this out somewhere with your name on it. Ain't no one coming to put you in jail for 8 years like they do over in China. You know what they do? You know, we were talking recently, I used the Congo as an illustration. You know what they'll do over there? There was a lady that the Voice of the Martyrs reported this. She was found out as a Christian. Whoever it was that came for her, some ISIS organization, went to go either jail her or kill her. They weren't very clear on it. She says, no, don't. I have a baby at home. Fine, take us to your home. She had 7 members in the family. They killed every single last member of her family over there in the Congo. Left her and the baby, burned the house. We're in a building with it marked what we do in here. We're so bold about it. Anybody rides past 107.7 on their radio, and they'll hear exactly what we think. We're so bold, we put it on the radio, and I'm dumb enough to allow my name to be put on it so they know exactly where I am. You go to our website, guess whose phone number it is? It's mine. Right? We don't have to be shy about what we're doing here. Isn't that nice? How many of you here, you got a little bit of a weight problem? Ain't it good to have food? Ain't it good to have food? God has dealt bountifully with us. If you got 10 bucks in your pocket, you know how much more money you got than most of the people here on this planet? It's good. You got food in your cabinet, that's better than a lot of people in this country. You got a cabinet, you're doing a whole lot better. Listen, we got our problems. I know I'm trying to diminish them. You know, just because you got some Pop-Tarts in the cupboard don't mean you ain't got problems. I understand. We still have problems. But we need to consider how bountifully God has supplied those things. Would you understand how much money I've lost? Can you make your bills? Yeah. Praise the Lord. What do you understand? With this going on with the economy, how terrible it's going to be for the future, we're not going to have potatoes, tomatoes, whatever. We're going to have a hard time getting those things. Yep. But I'll give you this. Some of us are still going to be on a diet. There's still going to be food you're going to have to stay away from. Because that's how bountifully God has worked for us. Oh, my car stopped working. Oh, no. Well, do you have a way to get to work? Well, no, I got the other car. Oh, okay, well, all right. I mean, sorry about your car, that's awful. How much is it going to cost to fix it? Oh, a couple thousand. It's going to take me months to get that money together. You got a way to put a couple thousand together in a couple months? All right. God has dealt bountifully. How am I going to pay these medical bills? We'll call them up, see if they can work out a plan. Well, I called them up and they said they got some money tucked aside and they'll help pay this amount. They'll put me on a payment plan for the rest. Well, praise the Lord. Well, my grandkids are going to be paying it off. Well, you better help them get good jobs. But I tell you what, there's ways. Even in the thickest of our problems, God has dealt bountifully. Right? I knew somebody, their back or something else was bothering them. Either their stomach or something was going on. They just had surgery. They could not get to sleep. And they told me, they're like, hey, listen, in order to get to sleep, I got to sleep in my chair. I've got to have a pillow this big and this thick. I've only got one pillow that I can put under my leg. It'll prop it up. And if I do that and I move my arm in the right place and I've got the right weighted kind of blanket and I've got the fan blowing on me over here, only then will my body let me go to sleep. So you got some sleep. Now, I know how ridiculous that sounds. I know how callous that sounds. But I know some people, they can't find a position to sleep, so you ought to be grateful. I know some people, they can't find, there ain't a speed on their fan, there ain't a pillow in their house. Fix what's wrong with them so they can sleep. God has dealt bountifully with us. Even in the depths of our struggles, we find blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And I do not say that to sit there and say, well, because other people have it worse, that means we can be happy, right? Oh, man, there's starving kids. That always made me feel bad. There are starving children in Africa that would love to eat that. And don't you feel like such a pill for not taking it? You know, just like, it's like, yeah, but it's like maybe if you gave them some apple slices and oatmeal, maybe they wouldn't be happy, you know? See, I like apple slices. I like oatmeal. I don't like warm apples. Maybe those kids in Africa wouldn't want this either. I don't know. Maybe I am a jerk for not wanting this. Now I kind of feel bad about eating it. They're starving. Maybe I should starve. You know, I'm not saying that because others suffer more, you should be happy. Right? What I'm saying is this, is that if you've got ways, and God gives us ways, you ought to praise Him. Because when you look at how bountifully the Lord has answered your prayers in the past, you'll have a whole lot more hope for the future. Even if you're going through the worst thing you've ever gone through before, the fact that He has blessed you in the past ought to be proof enough to know that He will do so in this situation. Did He leave you when it was boring? Did He leave you when it was small? Right? No. He stayed with me. Well, I tell you what, if He's interested in you enough to be there for the boring stuff, certainly He'll be there for the interesting stuff. Certainly He'll be there for the big projects. That's how our God is. If He loves you enough to deal with your boring parts, He's more than willing to love you enough to care for your deepest and hardest trials. He says, I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. How grateful are we for what God has done in our lives? Oh, we struggle. I'll tell you this, I've been in some hard times. Maybe you've been through some harder times than I have. I'm willing to believe that. That's easy to believe. Go through some hard stuff. But we need to pause in this belly aching, this self-counsel taking, this worry warding, this pity partying. We need to stop, take a pause. And look at what God has given you. And it will soften the blades of whatever you're going through. Right? It'll sharpen the teeth. Even Daniel in the lion's den found some relief in his problems. Could you imagine for a second Daniel in his lion in that lion's den? Well, maybe the Lord will preserve me. Maybe he won't. Maybe I'll live through this. I'll wake up in the morning, but I still have to deal with this death sentence. Maybe Daniel expected all along to be brought back out and to be exalted by the king. Maybe, who knows? But what would you do in that circumstance? Man, if smells down here and those teeth look pretty sharp and those lions are awful hungry and look at those massive paws they've got. I know that they've got those talons. Man, this is going to be awful. Can't believe the Lord would put me down here. Now look, Lord ain't even going to give me a quick death. I'm going to have to sit here all night. Can't even sleep down here. It smells so bad. It's so uncomfortable. The lion's sitting there trying to eat me. I'm going to fall asleep and they're going to chew me up. Daniel, are you alive? Yeah, I'm alive down here in this cold, dark earth. Now what? You're going to bring me up and take my head off probably. Man, here we go. You should have let the lions get me. We're kind of like that, aren't we? No. Lord, you've protected me and my friends this whole time. I'll sleep in this lion's den. You've protected me and my friends. We've had hard times. We've had persecution. We've had struggles. We've had threats to our lives. We've had losses. These people ripped us from our families, tore our families apart, completely tried to change who we are. Like if anybody had reason to grouse, it was Daniel and his friends. Yeah, you protected me yesterday. You'll protect me today. Because God don't change. God doesn't soften. He doesn't run out of blessings. He doesn't run out of love. He doesn't change his mind about caring for you. God's not that friend that'll go from seeing you every day to seeing you once a month to sending you Christmas cards to forgetting to send you Christmas cards. And now you're but strangers. God ain't like that. He is your heavenly Father. He is involved in everything that goes on in your life. What we need to do in our hard times is turn to the Lord. Recognize our need for Him. And yeah, it sounds cliche, but hey, good old-fashioned count your blessings. Count them. Right? Maybe you got a problem and maybe it's hard. Sometimes you need to look around and view the things you have. This last year, Xander read the book, The Hatchet. You ever read that book? It's a story about a boy. His parents are divorced, and he's kind of having a bad time with it. I think it's something like that. I can't remember the relationship with his parents. But anyway, he's flying to go see his dad. The plane crashes, and he's sitting there, and all he's got is a handful of things and a hatchet his dad gave him for Christmas or his birthday or something like that. And he sat there looking at all the things he had. How do I survive? Of course, the whole book is called The Hatchet, so you know what he used the most, right? Why did he survive on that island? With just a hatchet. You can do a lot of things with a hatchet if you've got a mind to do a lot of things. In our deepest, hardest problems, what we need to do is go to the Lord, look at the resources He has given us, and have a mind to do something with them. But all of it starts before you pick up the hatchet, before you pick up the gum, before you count the food. You go to the Lord and you say, thank you for these things. Thank you for your watch care over me. And I am trusting in your mercy. And I'm trusting in you, Lord, in these things. I will abide by you. I will obey you. I will do whatever it is you ask of me during this time. And thank you for giving me something to do here.
with this issue. I've got breath. I've got some strength. I've got some resources. I've got you. I've got everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as long as we've got you in our lives, we've got everything we need. It does not mean that life will be hard. This is a cursed earth, and Lord, we make it worse. But Father, I ask you this, that you keep us humble, keep us going to you. But Lord, never let us fall into a pity party. Never let us forget that you're there. Never let us act out of defeat or anger. But Lord, let us instead cling to your word and cling to you so that we might find salvation in these things. Not salvation of our souls, but salvation of our situations. Because Lord, not only will you handle our eternal souls, but you'll handle every day of our lives. Help us, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.